EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping lives for a better tomorrow.
What's going on? My name is Stephen Knight. And you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show. Everybody, my name is Stephen Knight, and welcome to the Stephen Knight Show here on EOTM Radio. I'd like to thank you all for joining us tonight. We have another great show lined up for you. We'll be discussing the latest in entertainment news, sports, fashion, and the latest in movie reviews. Now, this year's election is said to be one of the most important elections in quite some time. And so I have asked the guest panel to join us tonight as we weigh in on this year's presidential election. As always, we'll be part of the discussion, so call in with your questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6543. Again, that's 718-664-6543. You can also join us in chat. There's a link on our Facebook page. Now, Ms. Parker's not here tonight, so I asked Chike to fill in for her. Chike, what's going on with you?
Hey, brother, how are you?
I'm good. How was your weekend?
My weekend was fun. I actually attended Red Bull's Flu Talk event. And it was pretty zany. A bunch of people get together and they build these aviation machines that are handmade, and they sail them off of the pier into the water. And it's a competition as to see who can, you know, sail the furthest in the air. It's really, really interesting. If you can just Google Flu Talk and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It's kind of hard to explain. You have to experience it. But it was fun just being out there with the people and the beer and the fun and the cameras. It was fun.
That sounds interesting.
I did some coverage of it. Yeah, I did some coverage of it, so it should be somewhere on the internet sometime this week.
Okay. Well, I want to remind everyone, you know, we're doing the Stephen Knight Show singing competition, and we've gotten a lot of videos, actually, people who are interested in being part of the competition. We're going to extend the submissions. You can submit your videos up until this Friday, and next week we're going to we'll be voting on videos and seeing who's going to actually be on the actual competition. So remember, send us your YouTube videos of you singing to the Stephen Knight Show at gmail.com. So definitely wanted to encourage you all to participate in that. Now, let's see. Adam, TK, take away a movie.
Hey, how's it going?
Adam, what's going on?
Nothing much. How's it going?
It's going great.
Perfect. I guess I could start us off with the movies. I saw Resident Evil Retribution this weekend. And best I could say is just okay. It's pretty much the fifth in the Resident Evil series. If you haven't seen any of the others, the premise is, you know, this umbrella corporation, biggest corporation in the world, has been testing on people. There's a virus that turns people essentially into zombies. The beginning of the movie will go through all that, so you don't have to watch the other ones. But the biggest problem I had with the movie was it was a little confusing. Even though they explain everything to you, they try to jam a lot of plot, a lot of references. It was a video game originally, so they put a lot of references from the video game into the movie while trying to give you a lot of action scenes. And since they released this movie in 3D also, there was a good amount of scenes where, you know, they're throwing stuff at the screen, bullets are flying at the screen, so a lot of the shots were made for a 3D, just for that effect, so a lot of that was ruined. Overall, I mean, it's okay. you're not missing anything if you don't see it. But if you're a fan of the series and you want to see just an action movie for the weekend, then you'll be fine with it.
Okay.
How about you, Chica?
Chica, still on this? I've been disconnected. Chica?
I saw, yes.
Okay, now we hear you. Okay, you're out for a minute.
I went and saw a movie called The Master, and it stars Joaquin Phoenix and Philip Seymour Hoffman, Amy Adams, and Laura Dern. It's about a gentleman who is an ex-serviceman. He's a veteran, and he is now out of the service, and he's going on a search of self. And he finds himself intertwined with a man who is actually starting up his own religion, a cult, so to speak. And it just deals with his turmoil and following this man who is the quote-unquote master, who is kind of like a Jim Jones character of sorts. If anyone knows who Jim Jones is, he started a cult that led everybody to mass suicide. So if you're into that type of drama, I highly urge it. I think that it's going to be a movie that will actually win some awards. The acting in it is superb. I was drawn to it just simply because Joaquin Phoenix and Philip Seymour Hoffman are dynamite, you know, artists in themselves, in their own right. So I highly give it a thumbs up. Go check it out. You will definitely be moved.
Okay. Anything coming up, any movies coming up that you two are excited about?
I think we pretty much mentioned, I'm looking forward to the holiday season. I'm still anticipating this Oz movie. I'm very, very curious to see, you know, where they're going to take this story, you know, as, you know, a spinoff of The Wizard of Oz. What about you,
yeah,
Adam?
Yeah, that's the same Oz, you know, The Hobbit. We have Skyfall, the new 007 movie's coming out in a couple months, I think. So we're kind of in the lull right now between summer and fall, you know, the season kind of picking up. But those are the main ones for the coming up season.
I think the first movie for the Halloween season, this movie called Sinister, starring Ethan Hawke, is coming out later on this month or early next month. I'm actually going to a pre-screening of it next week. So I'll be able to review that, you know, one before
awesome.
It comes out.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully I can get an interview with the director or something while I'm at it because he's supposed to be there.
Oh, nice.
All right. Well, as always, we thank you, Adam and Chike, of course, for your contribution to our movie review segment. And we'll be talking to you again next week. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
See you, Adam.
All right.
Hey, everyone. What's going on in sports?
Hey, what's up, Steven, man? I'm actually watching the game right now, man. The Falcons are just looking good.
Oh, yeah. It's Parker
yeah.
at the game tonight.
Oh, that's where she's at. Okay.
Yeah,
lucky her.
Yeah. Right.
Lucky her, yeah. Man, have you been watching the football over the first 2 weeks?
Watching the football?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I haven't been watching. I haven't been following it. But how's it looking?
Oh, it's looking good. Let's see. Dallas, who everybody, of course, always hypes up at the beginning of the season, every freaking season. Dallas is the team to beat. Dallas is the team to beat. All right, Dallas, week one, goes to New York, beats the Giants. Okay, woo. All right, cool. Then they go to Seattle, and they get blown out.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, Dallas is – I'm sorry, Dallas fans. You can send me an email, you know, message me, whatever. But I'm sorry, Dallas is not going to make the playoffs this year. I said it. I'm not. And I'll say it again next week. And I'll say it again next week after that. But the actual player to watch right now, man, it's Robert Griffin III, man. He is actually living up to the hype. He is. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I was saying that Robert Griffin The third is actually living up to the hype. He's playing great football.
Okay.
Right now. Yeah.
Good.
Let's see what else is going on in sports, man. I can't believe that I got actually all this extra time now. I don't even know what to even do with it, man.
Well, I have a question for you, A-Ron. What's going on Mike Vick, you know, Philadelphia Eagles? You know, this is my area, my neck of the woods. What's going on with them?
You want to talk about the Eagles? Okay, we can talk about the Eagles. The Eagles, for everybody who knows or doesn't know, the Eagles are one of five teams that are 2-0. They won both their games by a combined 2 points, so do the math. I don't know how they do it, man. They just get it done. They win.
What do you predict for their future?
You know what?
Because honestly, the big talk up here is that Vic is not really going to go on to next season. They're saying that this is going to be his last season. What do you think?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know about that. We'll say this though. I don't think Vic is gonna last all season. I think he's gonna get hurt again.
Why is that?
You know what? Hey, just so everybody knows, I like Vic. I think Michael Vick is a talented player. But I think that how Michael Vick plays, it's so easy for him to get injured. Like that's just how he plays.
Okay,
I got you. Yeah, so, Vic might, you can just, like, tap him and he'll get hurt because he's a small guy. So, I just see him maybe not finishing out the season. If he doesn't finish out the season, TK, I don't see him coming back next season. If he finishes out the season and they make the playoffs and they do pretty good, then I can see them coming back next season.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah. What about you?
I mean, I feel the same way, but I know that there was a lot of talk because the owners are talking that they want to see results. They want to see something happen. And
there was talk
about either Vic or Andy Reid. One of them was going to go.
One of them
was going to
be leaving.
Too many people were getting a high paycheck.
And I've actually heard more along the lines of Andy Reid leaving than Michael Vick. And the reason being is because they've invested a lot of money in Michael Vick. And but I can also see the fan base. Vic is still not a very popular person when it comes to the public at large. He's still very unpopular. And he has a really large contract again. And I'm sorry, if I'm an owner, I want to see some results. I'm tired of this mediocre, season, and then you're getting hurt halfway through the season, and I'm just tired of it. Either we got to win, I want Super Bowl, or you're out.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. I actually like Andy Reid also. I think Andy Reid is a really good coach, but at the same time, it goes both ways too. Like, he's been coaching there for a very long time, and maybe it's time for him to.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's a tough situation. The best record in the NFC East. So hey, congratulations.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, but it won't last because I have a feeling that the Giants probably make a playoff run because think about it. The Giants are not a first half of the season team. They are like a second half of the season team. That's when they play their best football.
Second half. Oh, okay.
Yeah, second half.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And I'm going to say watch out for the Redskins. you know, people kind of, you know, it's kind of, but they're playing really well. TK, this is the one thing, if I was an Eagle, I'd be concerned about. You guys, again, barely win games.
Hey, Ron, you going in and out?
Yeah, you are. I mean, that Cleveland game, you, I mean, come on. Y'all barely won. I mean, barely.
But, you know.
And also, all these interceptions, fumbles, I mean, you all got to get your offense together. It is not looking good at all.
Yeah. If people wonder how I'm from this area and I'm not an Eagles fan, that's precisely why. Because they always get up to the end and then they choke. For whatever reason it may be, injuries or whatever, they always choke.
Well, they almost choked these first two games. And actually, Cleveland should have won that game. I'm sorry, Cleveland should have, would have, could have. I understand that. But Cleveland, man, they are, I mean, golly, really? I mean, they should have won that game. The Ravens, man, I was very disappointed with Baltimore. They were playing good. They were playing really well, but I don't know what happened. But we'll see. I want to see y'all play the Redskins and the Giants, and then we can see what's up.
We'll definitely see what happens.
Yeah,
hey, Ron, where can we follow you on Twitter? Do you remember your Twitter name?
man, my Twitter. What is my Twitter? Oh, yeah, A1 underscore TWENTY12. Instagram is the same, A1 underscore TWENTY12. And Facebook, you can always Facebook me and ask me what my Twitter and Instagram is. My Facebook is my first name, Aaron, last name Cosby, Aaron Cosby, Aaron Cosby.
And you'll be staying on to join our discussion later on. So we'll talk to you then, okay?
All right, man.
All right, well, Ms. Ferguson is not here. Daenerys is not here tonight. But to find her, you know, her sale, the discounts and things that she found, go to her website, thebudgetshopaholic.com, budgetshopaholic.com, and you get all those that she finds and she works hard to find for us. Now I'm going to go on to entertainment news. Ms. Parker's out. I don't know if you watched, but last night Usher was on Oprah's Next Chapter, and he talked about his relationship with his ex-wife, Tamika, stating that did you get a chance to see that?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I did not see that.
He talked about how, you know, how they were such great friends prior to getting together and how they were friends through the relationship, but the way that she has kind of turned things, he doesn't see them ever being friends again. He does respect her as his the mother of his two sons. And then, you know, a lot of people were wondering why they went to the custody battle trial soon after her son Kyle passed away. Usher indicated that he had filed paperwork, petitioned to the court and to Tamika, saying, let's hold off on that and give Tamika and the family time to grieve the loss of her son. Tamika said that he was using that as a ploy to make himself look better and to get away with the whole custody thing. So she continued with it. And as you know, that he got full custody of both the sons. His relationship with his mother had been strained after he released, he said he didn't fire her, but he relieved her of her services as his manager years ago. She said that she wasn't, at first she didn't agree with it, but she understood, because she said that she felt like the industry was, it's hard fighting in that industry, and so she was kind of tired with that. But they have a great relationship now. She doesn't regret not going to Usher and Tamika's wedding. She said if it happened again, she wouldn't have gone, because she just knew that would be that way. It'd turn out the way it was. In terms of being a father, he said he was born to be a good father. Oprah asked him, how can you be a good father when you've never had that example? And he said, I was born to do it. And he said that he's, you know, excited every day. How his life has changed. He has his two sons that he raises and, you know, they live with him. Now, did you get to see Evelyn Lozada on, I always pronounce the name wrong, what's the woman on Oprah's network, Pick My Life, what's her name?
Ayanna Vanzant.
Ayanna, yeah, Ayanna Vanzant. She she had Evelyn on her season premiere over the weekend. It was a 2-part special. First part, actually, you know, I thought that she had him on the show after the whole Chad situation, but she was actually scheduled to be on prior to it. The first part was 11 days after they got married, and it was, I guess it was taking a look at her for kind of being a bully on basketball-wise and, you know, just the way that she treated the other women on there. And they kind of took a look at her past and how she didn't have a father figure and how her mother really didn't know how to be a great mom, even though she did love her and whatnot, and kind of led up to the situation. She was told that this relationship doesn't seem like it's going to work out, but, you know, she said that she was scared of the relationship, but, you know, this is where she was and this is what she was doing. Now, the second part, which aired last night, was actually right after the headbutt incident with Chad Johnson, alleged headbutt incident. She admitted then that there had been domestic violence in that relationship prior to, but she never talked about it because she wanted to protect that relationship. But basically how she allowed herself to be with a man who was inappropriate in a relationship, you know, cheating on other women, you know, physical violence and whatnot. And so, that was that situation. But you did. I never really watched the show, the reality show, but I've seen some episodes of Ms. Parker. But in watching her last night, you could see the person. You know, I mean, see a person, not the celebrity or the TV personality. So it was kind of interesting.
Here's an interesting story. You know what was funny to me?
I'm sorry.
Because in the actual reality show, at some point, her. I don't know if they're friends now, or former friends. I don't know what the status of their friendship is now. But Jennifer was trying to tell her in so many words that it's not the whole marriage part in that industry is not what she thinks it's going to be.
Yeah.
Evelyn was always the girl. You know, she was always, you know, the girlfriend. She was never the wife.
Right.
Where Jennifer was the wife who wanted out of the marriage, and Evelyn wanted what Jennifer had. And Jennifer kept telling her, it's not what you think it is. And now she sees for herself.
Evelyn's situation was that she never had a man in her life who validated her. You know, her dad was absent. She got pregnant at 16. And she said the guy was actually, you know, a good guy. He was 19 because she was promiscuous, you know, just acting out of not having that father there. And so after she had her child, he basically, you know, was gone. And basically how she just never had a healthy relationship with a man. And what Ivana basically showed her was that that's been your reputation, you know, with men, you know, that you don't make the right decision with men. And so she asked her, why are you wanting to divorce this time as opposed to the other times he hit you? And she said, because this time it was my fate. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And so you couldn't hide that. You know, it was out there in the open. So it was an interesting story. I think that women who are in unhealthy relationships could really relate to that story.
And you did hear that he wants her back, like he's trying to get her back.
Well, he did want her back, and then now he's filed for divorce against her, and he pled innocent, not guilty to the assault charge, the misdemeanor assault charge. So it's a crazy situation. You know, what's her name? Ayanna was trying to get her not to focus on what Chad did, but to see how she brought that into her life. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that she was not strong enough to deal with men, that's why she acted out on women, cutting them out, throwing stuff in their face, you know, that's because she knew that she couldn't get to a man, and she never had. She said she never raised her hand to a man, you know what I mean? And so it was deep. Now, L.A. Times has reported that over two decades, from 1970 to 1991, that the Boy Scouts of America have failed to report hundreds of alleged childhood molesters to police. What they would do was, if there was an incident, they would ask the alleged perpetrators to quietly resign from you know, their position. And, you know, it's all coming out now. And so some people said they're not really surprised by that. I don't know, but it's definitely you know, disheartening, you know, what it can do to young men and women, and everyone has to go through it. Now, American Idol has released the name of the final list of the judges. Mariah Carey, Randy Jackson, who they weren't sure if he was going to stay or not. He's back on the show. Nicki Minaj, and country singer Keith Urban. What do you think about that panel?
I mean, I understand why they're all there. They all have validity in some form, way, or form. But I do know initially Mariah had problems with Nicki Minaj being there. She was talking about not doing it because she was there. I guess they must have monetarily worked it out with her to make her okay with it. But each of them, they're there for a reason. Nicki is obviously there for her fan appeal and for her demographic. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're all musicians to some degree. So I say kudos to them. I hope they get the ratings they're looking for.
I think it's become more about ratings now, competing with the other shows, The Voice and X Factor,
opposed
to
absolutely
finding the talent. You know what I mean? Finding the talent. Because I think Mariah Carey is actually a good judge, obviously, because of her career and what she's achieved. You know, she's an icon in her own right. Randy Jackson's been there since the beginning. But Nicki Minaj, I mean, and nothing against Nicki. You know, she's doing big things in her career, but what can she teach a singer? You know what I mean?
That was my question. I've always thought that maybe the fourth judge should have been a rotating one, maybe a different person every 2 weeks, someone in the industry who is of high regard. I'm just saying, if they're listening, you might want to try that out.
Now, Keith Urban, obviously, he's someone who, you know, he deserves it, I believe. You know, he's huge in the country world, and he has a huge following. You know, following, he can sing. You know what I mean? He's very talented. So
absolutely. And they didn't want to lose Randy because he's the staple. He's like the last original member. So,
absolutely.
I mean, if they got rid of him, I think the whole show would have had a different face. It would have.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we had to rework everything.
Now, I don't know if you saw it, but Prince was on The View today, and apparently he showed up with an afro. His hair looks like it's his real hair. It's in the afro state. And
he took it back to the 70s.
People kind of commented on what you think about his look. So if you're at home and you get a chance, Google Prince on The View. It's all over the place. Now, there's a story where a man is, he's on death row and scheduled to be executed next month or so because he actually went back and killed the man who sexually abused him when he was a kid. And the question is, should he be on death row? What do you think?
Well, me personally, I don't believe in the death penalty. So I've had this theory, and I've been sharing this with people for as long as I can remember. I think they need to make a prison island where they have to till their own soil and grow from the land. The only thing that you will give them is seeds, and then you drop off prisoners of the island by airplane. One island for men, one island for women, 3-strike rule, then you go to the island. That's just how I feel.
I hear that.
But we didn't bring life, so we shouldn't take it. That's just how I feel. Sorry.
Yeah. You know, they're very touched when it comes to death penalty. But especially the fact that, I mean, I don't think we condone anyone killing anyone, but this is someone who we don't know how that man has been, how he's been affected since he was sexually molested. You know what I mean? We don't know
that's
messed him up in the head. And, if he never got the proper counseling and whatnot, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and one could argue that he was temporarily insane due to the fact, you know, his grief.
Yeah, well, he's scheduled to be executed in the next month or so. Now, have you been following this girl, Amanda Bynes? Apparently, she was a Nickelodeon star, and getting DUIs and rearing cars and all this stuff. Well, you know, Lizzie Owen is someone who has kind of gone the same path, and she tweeted, "Why is she not locked up yet?" And people are like, "Really, Lizzie? Stay out of this."
Because she was. But I mean, if you can remember, let's go all the way back. Let's go back to Drew Barrymore, who's now in Hollywood royalty now. Remember when she had her little bout with the law and cocaine and the things that she used to do when she was around their age, you know, being buck wild? I think it's a rite of passage in Hollywood. I think that you can't get to be a Hollywood royalty starlet unless you've gone through the muck and mire of being wild and rogue.
Okay.
They've all done it. So.
Right.
But, you know, Amanda Bynes, you know, I think this last accident, her license had been suspended. She shouldn't have been driving, and she was drunk again, right? So I think her license is suspended. I think it was suspended when she had this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So treat her accordingly.
Right. All right. Well, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back. We'll talk politics with our guest panel. Right back after this.
Hey, baby, this is Mother Luella Jenkins of EOTMRadio.com. I need y'all to go to www.wolfentertainment.com, AU. Go there and check out some of their music. Child, they got some music on there. You hear me? Child, they got, what's his name? Helmut. He know he play that saxophone. Yeah, he played a saxophone, and you know he give him hell now, because his name Hellman, honey. He know he played that phone. Now, y'all go on there and check him out. They got, what that name is? They got Toxic Flame, Green Fire, Blue Wolf, and Fetty, that boy Fetty, Ron Anthony, Sidney Bonds. I mean, just go on there and check it out. And Miss Wood, why she be boom, 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 boom. Yeah, boom, 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 boom. Yeah, she know she be doing that thing. You hear me? Now, y'all go on there and check them out, because when you get Carla and Helmet together, you got some hell on this world. You hear me? Because they're going to make sure you get some publicity. Now, you go on there and check them out and get some of the music, baby. Check out some of their music. Ooh, they know they play. They got all kind of rappers and jazz and everything. You tell them that Mother Luella Jenkins sent you there to get some of that music. And Helmet, you keep giving them hair, baby.
This has been brought to you by EOTMRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. I want to remind everyone about our singing competition, the Stephen Knight Show singing competition. If you're interested in competing, go send a YouTube video, a link of your YouTube video, not the full video. Some people have been sending me full videos. I don't want those. I want a link of the YouTube video of you singing to the Stephen Knight Show at gmail.com. So definitely send those in. We've gotten some videos. People asking what's going on. We are taking videos up until the end of the week. So we definitely look forward to your video submissions. Now, Chike, I know that you have a new venture that you started. We're kind of killing some time here. Tell us about the conversation, Chike.
Chike, are you there?
Okay, I guess I lost Chike. Anyway, Chike has a new venture called Conversation with Chike. Are you on, Chike? No. Okay, a new venture. Check him out on Facebook, Conversation with Chike, and you'll find out more about his new venture. I was going to ask him to tell us about it, but I'm sure he'll be back in a minute.
I'm here.
All right. So you are there?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, tell us about Conversation with Chike.
Okay. Conversations with Chike is just basically me going on my journeys to events that I'm going to, people that I meet, or just people that I find interesting, having in-depth conversation with them so you can get to learn a little bit more about them personally as opposed to just them from their business or just from their art. It's about knowing the person behind the brand. That's it.
And how can they follow Conversations with Chike?
You can follow Conversations with Chike by following me on Facebook, Chike Evans. And I have my fan book page. It's called Conversations with Chike. You can like it, and then you'll see my content being uploaded as I bring it to you. You can also follow me on Twitter at Absolutely Chike, and also Instagram. I'm new to Instagram. I just started using it, so please follow me. I don't have any followers yet. Instagram, same, absolutely TK. Yeah, I was reluctant for the longest time, but I'm loving it now.
Okay, well, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to jump in there and follow you. Well, let's switch gears. As you know, on November 6th, millions will rush to the polls to cast their vote for the United States presidential election. Incumbent President Barack Obama is running for a second and final term during this election. His major challenger is former Massachusetts Governor Republican Mitt Romney. This is said to be one of the most important elections in a long time, and I've asked the guest panel representing different sides to join us tonight and weigh in on the 2012 presidential election. Let me start by introducing our panel first. He's been on here many occasions. Let's welcome back to the show, Tyrone. What's up, Tyrone?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good. How you doing? How you doing? All right. And help me welcome Derek. Derek, you on?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Welcome. Welcome to the show. And our very own Aaron. We have someone else that should be calling in Avery, so we'll be looking out for him. But what's going on, Aaron? Welcome back.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Great to be back.
All right. So this is said to be a huge election here. You know, lots at stake. I'm going to go through each person and tell me who you're voting for and why. I'll start with you, Tyrone.
Right now, I would say that I'm not eagerly anticipating voting at all, and that's due to my disappointment in regards to Obama. But if I had to choose, Obama is a better president than Mitt Romney. However, there are certain things that Obama did during his administration that I'm not too keen with. But, you know, there's still time left. But right now, I would say I'm not voting.
Okay. Derek?
I'll be supporting Obama. I mean, I think he would definitely be the best choice. It's just such a huge difference in between the two candidates on which way they want to lead the country. And it's just, I mean, there is no other choice to me.
Okay. And Aaron?
Man, it's not even fair, man. President Obama all day, every day, I'm supporting him. I'm letting everybody know I support him. Yeah, I'm energized, ready to go. Yes.
Okay.
All right, cool.
It was interesting. We had someone else who was going to be on tonight. I guess he didn't, he had something come up, but he actually was feeling the same way as you, Tyrone, where he didn't really care for either one of the candidates, and he didn't see the point in voting this year. Let's talk about that. So, Tyrone, you talked about, you know, at this point you're not convinced that you'll vote. What do you say to those that, you know, you always push vote or die, you know, so many people gave their lives so we have this, you know, opportunity to vote, whatnot. What do you say to that?
Well, what I would say to that is if you study our voting system, we have a flawed voting system to begin with because it goes through the electoral colleges. So, in essence, only a few states are actually truly in play where your votes actually really count. And since I live in Georgia, even if I was to vote, it's a symbolic vote anyway because Mitt Romney would win all the Republican votes, all the votes for Georgia anyway. So if you understand the voting, and people like to feel good about their voting, but unless you actually live in like Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, the states that can go either way, in all honesty, your vote doesn't really count anyway.
Derek, what do you say about that?
Well, I mean, he's right. But, and this is a true fact, that if all of the minorities, especially people that are registered Democrats and do not vote, and people who would most likely be Democrats, it would change the state to blue. But no one votes. Even in the last election where you had more people, more minorities voting than ever before in the state of Georgia, still, if I'm not mistaken, it was only half. So it's like it could easily be changed, but people still do not vote.
Well, one of the major issues, and I don't care where you are, a lot of people are talking about the economy. the economy, how big the economy, you know, who's going to take us in the right direction, President Obama or Governor Mitt Romney? Aaron, obviously you're voting for President Obama. You made it very clear. How do you think he will help with the economy?
Ooh, let's see. He already has. Let's see. There's been job growth, job creation for over like the past I believe over like the past 3 years almost. Like this, it's been every month. There's been job gains as opposed to job losses. So that right there says a lot to me. And then also, I'm trying to get my law degree, so I'm big on like Pell grants and scholarships and, you know, loans and things. So he's definitely going to help out with that.
Tyrone, what do you think Mitt Romney's biggest strength that he brings, if he is elected, that he'll bring to the country?
I think his biggest strength is being the face of the American public. He always comes off cool, calculated, knows, intelligent, seems very astute in what he's trying to portray, and especially from here to foreign countries. I think he's a great ambassador and a great leader from a figurehead point of view as representation, especially in comparison to like a president like George Bush. I think that's what his strongest strength is. That's why he has high, regardless of the the economy. I personally don't think the economy is doing very well. He generally has high favorable people. Generally like him, regardless if you dislike or dislike his policies. I think that's his biggest strength. He comes across as a very likable person.
Okay. And, you know, a lot of people, when it comes to Mitt Romney, obviously he's had a lot of money, he's made a lot of money in his career. And a lot of people have used it as a negative towards him. Why do you think that?
You asking me?
Yeah.
Because the company that he used to run initially started doing good things. They initially invested in startup companies. I mean, Bain Capital actually invested in, like, Staples, and created Staples to where they became now. But then they became a private equity firm where I can't blame him because this is what the American capitalism is you find loopholes in the system to make money. And they found ways to find struggling to – I guess the goal of their private equity firm was to make money out of struggling companies. So sometimes they would add on extra debt to the detriment of the company and move jobs to other places and be able to extrapolate, add debt and extrapolate dividends for them and their partners to make money. And then regardless if the company went bankrupt or not, they made money regardless of it. So when you look at it from that perspective, it's not what for the companies that they, regardless, there was some companies there was no risk reward. It was regardless if the company succeeded or not, they were still going to make their money. And it just lives up to the big corporations, unfair, beating down the little man, and we'll do whatever we can. Not even think about the little man. We'll do whatever we can to make money. And the irony of all that is because due to all the debt that we already have in the United States, you have someone who utilized debt to make more money detriment of smaller companies. So I do think that title is well held as to why people think he's for. You know, he has no mindset in regards to what the little people are.
Okay. And, Derek, why would you say that what would you say is, you know, Tyrone obviously talked about where his strengths are. What do you think his weaknesses in terms of winning this election?
Oh, wow. How much time do we have? my thing is – my biggest thing about him is he constantly touts his job creation experience, and anybody that's in tune with business knows that private equity is not a mechanism for creating jobs. It's a mechanism for creating money, for making money, which is not, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's, again, like Tyrone said, that's part of the American dream. But people have to think about, would you want people like him or Donald Trump, because, you know, he's done the same thing, in the White House? Like, is that a good position to give someone who's that money-driven? And you just have to kind of think about that, you know, because you have to think about the little man and the poor people. And he's, I just don't believe, my opinion is he separates himself from those people and he rewards people like himself. And that's what he's looking to do. So I think that's his biggest, that's one of his biggest weaknesses amongst many, many other things.
All right. Who has the strongest running mate, Tyrone?
I mean, to me, I don't think presidencies are one that's decided by the vice president. Joe Biden is extremely experienced all the way around. He's been, he's been in politics for I don't know how long. Obviously, he can slip with the tongue every now and then, but he never goes too far or anything, and you know what to expect from him, and he hasn't done anything detrimental in the last 4 years, so I think he's a safe running mate. Paul Ryan, I think, falls victim to a lot of things like Mitt Romney. His budget plan, which touts, saving money, or eradicating the deficit, has low taxes, and ultimately, and it guts, entitlements, which I do think is a tough argument, is a tough talk that we eventually need to have, because we can't, because our debt is spiraling out of control. However, there's a lot of flaws in the stuff he brings to the table, and I think they're more magic policies than actually real policies. I just think America, though. I do think he's a good-looking middle-aged man that a lot of people, just like Mitt Romney, just like Obama, I do think that we get spur on style instead of substance. So presentation-wise, people like seeing them because they all fit the role as that squeaky clean, a good-looking politician. So, again, I'm on the firm belief most people don't even keep up with the policies. But I think he's flawed policy-wise the same way as Mitt Romney.
Okay.
I wanted to say something. You know, something I noticed about him lately is because, when they first announced him as a running mate, I kind of liked him a little bit because I thought he was going to be more of a truth teller, you know, which is what a lot of people thought. But lately, I mean, he's been spurring off untrue statements, things that are just not facts. He seems angry. He seems like he's in fighting mode. It's just kind of, it's like a total 360 degrees from when, you know, a month ago or 3 weeks ago.
And the biggest thing is, if you know Paul Ryan, he was a big, he based his whole philosophy on economics on Ayn Rand, who was a Russian atheist, who she believed that you should never tax the rich. The rich keep all the money that they can, and they, like that. That is like the dogma that rich people should be able to collect and hold as much money as they can. And with as very few and low taxes. And when you see the policies, just like his budget plan supply, that's what it gears for. If you think we have inequality now, class income inequality, they still have that firm belief in that if you cut taxes and stuff, that this, somehow that money trickles down to the middle class and the poor.
Right.
Let me break in real quick. Avery's on the line. Avery, welcome to the show. Avery there? Okay. I was told he's here. Avery?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. Now, Avery, we're talking about the candidates and this election, obviously. Who you said that you don't agree with either policy. You know, you don't really care for either one of the candidates. Tell us why.
Well, my problem is with the fundamental system of it all. You know, the Democrats know the Republicans, I think, are really sticking their neck out to do what's right. I think both of them are in the bed with each other, and they are both just feeding their own policies or feeding their own, you know, way of life, and it's not really geared towards helping everyone. And I think a lot of us have been fooled, especially in the black community, to think that the Democrats care about you more than the Republicans may do, when I think that they both, neither one of them really care about you. That's just my opinion, but I just think that it's a problem that we are left to choose between the lesser of two evils instead of someone who's actually going to be right for the country and do something that's right for everyone.
So what would you recommend people to do who are on the fence with you? You know, they don't care either way for either candidate. Would you not vote or what?
Well, I don't want to say don't vote, but I don't want to say just give your vote away to someone that you don't believe in either. Okay. So I guess it's an oxymoron, you know, because
right.
I can't give myself a vote to Barack Obama, and I can't give a vote to Mitt Romney, because I don't believe neither one of them are going to do anything that's going to help me out, you know, personally, or help out my community. So in my case, I'm kind of leaning towards not voting, but at the same time, I don't want to go unheard as well. So for people like myself, I think we need to find someone who can be a leader and actually push, maybe not even so forth the party, but push for some real leadership and to get someone to stand on their own convictions and not always backing whatever the Democrats say because I'm a Democrat, or backing whatever the Republicans say because I'm a Republican, but having your own convictions and saying, this is what I feel is right, and I'm not going with what everyone else in the party is saying.
Okay.
Excuse me,
okay.
Stephen. Can I ask him a question?
Sure.
So why do you think that, let's say, for instance, President Obama, you don't think that he's helped out in the community at all with any of his policies?
Well, I won't say at all, but I don't think that he has gone to the extreme where I've seen him going to the extreme in other notions or in other fashions. There's a lot of issues, especially, and now I don't mean to make this a black and white thing, but it's some issues that goes on within the black community that I think that he just frays away from, and, you know, he does it. I know a lot of policies that he has done has helped black people, but there's still some big, big issues that go on in our communities that he's afraid to address. And go ahead.
No, this is Tyrone. I'd be more than happy to answer that question. I voted for Obama in 2008. He ran on a platform on, you know, change and hope, and the biggest things that I've been – he's done a lot of stuff, but the biggest things that I'm disappointed in is economically, where, you know, the middle class and poor have gotten even poorer under his administration. And I'm fully aware that he had to deal with a lot of issues because of the presidency beforehand. However, the biggest issue that I have is how he handled the banks. And ultimately, the banking system does not produce any goods. They don't. They're not part of the real – they can lend money to the economy, but ultimately what they service and what they do is not ultimately needed in the grand scheme of the economy. And they bailed them – the Federal Reserve bailed them out for trillions of dollars and left the people holding the bag on the debt. And under his administration, the biggest thing is no prosecution under blatant fraud. So they continue to do it again, and the banks have gotten bigger. And the biggest thing is that instead of bailing out the banking system, had they nationalized the banking system and negotiated, and the trillions of dollars used, if it was used to negotiate debt down from the regular people would have more money. Whether you could lower mortgages on underwater mortgages, negotiate the way with regular be, and that's the economy would be stimulated because people's debt would be down and people would have more money, and that's how you really stimulate the economy, not by saving the banking system where all it's doing is enriching a few 1%, and that's where the Occupy Wall Street has come out of that. And especially, and I do agree when he says not to make it white or black. However, he is the first black president, and
yeah.
if it was the first Jewish president or the first gay president or like the first male woman president, you know, obviously that constituency would have expectations that you would actually go out your way to look out for it, especially when you see the unemployment for black people is double the whites right now. And I don't think he's gone out his way. I think he assumes that he's getting all the black votes anyway. So, and I do think he's under the philosophy of if you ensure, I don't want to say the rich, but what I would say is his actions or what he says is his actions have told a different story, because even the health care bill, some of you, I know a lot of people like that and stuff. If you really look at it, it really is a bailout to the healthcare industry. I will see if it actually works, but he didn't come in with radical change. That's a Bob Dole plan, the Mitt Romney plan. Those are Republican ideals that he put out there instead of going full steam like a single payer, like every other developed, like most of the rest of the developed nations have around the world, a single payer that eradicates that help the bullet healthcare industry. So that's where I'm disappointed, because he came in as coming in as a radical president, and then when he came in there, he put the same people in charge that were under the Clinton administration, that he kept some of the people there from the Bush administration, and to me, he's more of a status quo candidate. So I do agree with him to some degree, and this is where I'm on the fence is, regardless of who's president, they're still going to interact and serve the rich. I mean, when people talk about welfare happens all the time for rich corporations. The auto industry gets bailed out, the bank industry gets bailed out, rich farmers get bailed out, everything. But then people complain about it and stuff. It's serving the poor. And if you ever look at the numbers, the poor people, the amount of money it goes to defense and everything else is huge compared to where it serves when it serves the poor. And I do think there could be more to help the middle class and the poor. And one more thing, his foreclosure bill, his thing this time, foreclosures was atrocious, and it was a complete failure. And everybody part of that administration has admitted there was a complete failure, and it served, and there was blatant banking fraud throughout that were kicking people out of homes without them holding mortgages, and no one got prosecuted under that. So that to me is the biggest reason. That to me is the biggest why I'm the biggest. I don't want to say is why I'm extremely disappointed in Obama.
Okay. Derek, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Derek. What does President Obama need to do to win this election?
Well, first, I just want to comment, or I want to kind of ask a question, because I'm always interested in knowing the reasons why, quote-unquote, black people tend to be disappointed with Obama. And I always ask that because I always want to know what is it particularly that he should have done or has not done for black people that he hasn't done. Because, I mean, I always think in my mind that the issues in the black community is something that cannot be solved by government. And I just will always believe that. But such as the black unemployment rate, like, it's always been higher than everyone else.
It's always been high. Exactly.
And I always ask, and I seriously want to know what are the particular, like, specifics of things that he could have done to help the black community that he has not done.
Well, Avery, want to weigh in on that?
I just want to say something real quick. Well, in regards to the history, government has done more to help black people than anyone else. They were the first employers to actually employ black people.
But I didn't say they haven't done for black people. What I'm saying is, what specifically could Obama do to help stimulate the black community, to help bring this unemployment rate down, to help out the black families, all the single parent homes, all of the problems that plague the black community? What could government possibly do to directly help that?
Did someone else want to answer first?
No, go ahead, Sean.
Well, first, you know, obviously, there are a lot more black people, I guess, percentage-wise, obviously, middle class and poor and poverty. So, obviously, if you target that demographic, you're going to target a huge amount of black people. One, again, with bailing out the banking system and not the middle class, where, again, if you know, just like when George Bush sent out $300 to everyone, you could have did a huge bail. If you're bailing out banks for trillions of dollars, you could have eradicated people's student – you could have to walk down student debt, credit card debt, housing debt across the board, and it would have stimulated everyone. If you eradicate 50% of everyone's student debt, housing debt, that's a real stimulus that stimulates the actual economy. And we can't say that's impossible, because the numbers thrown out that would stay to eradicate the banks, you could have definitely did that. Number two is doing something in regards to the blatant racism that occurs in the criminal justice system and the drug war. The drug war has only gotten worse, more violent. And even the sentencing is obviously geared to sentencing minorities or in urban areas a lot harshly. So you can address the drug war. I'm also a realist. If you're going to try something like that, you're going to have to try to do that in your second term, not your first term.
Right, exactly.
But that is something that obviously targets minorities. But to me, again, Martin Luther King, first, when he was striving for civil rights, he said civil rights is irrelevant without economic justice. So until there's a balance of helping, because now we're in a society now where we're ranked extremely low now in upward mobility now. So wherever you're born in is more than likely where you're going to stay at, where there isn't the chances or opportunity to go there. But when people say, what could he have done? When you see money and resources being in a capitalist system, it's supposed to be there is no risk without reward. Well, if you reward companies that do bad things, there is no risk involved. If they fail and you don't allow them to fail, then you're rewarding bad behavior and you're giving money to rich corporations. That money could have been used and been beneficial to helping middle class and poor people, which ultimately affects a wider percentage margin of blacks, of minorities, and specifically blacks.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you on a lot of what you said, but I think it's just a double-edged sword when you say, for instance, if he hadn't have bailed out the banks, I feel as though the recession would have gotten deeper and it would have affected people even more so than if he hadn't. And it's a bad thing, because I agree with you. You should not reward shitty behavior.
Who told you it would get a lot worse?
Well, that's just my opinion.
Okay,
you know, that's my opinion. It could, we don't know. We don't know whether it would or whether it wouldn't. None of us. But that's just my opinion.
I absolutely think it would have got a lot worse. But I do think that it would have cleared out the bad, what wasn't working out quicker, and I've been saying ever since we bailed out, our economy wouldn't get better. And for what the jobs that we're adding, they're low wage jobs. So that's why the middle class and poor are feeling the brunt worse, because the only jobs that are getting added are low wage jobs in the economy. That's the dirty secret. They're not great jobs that are being added. And and the unemployment.
No, that's true. No, that's true. You're absolutely right.
And
yeah.
And the unemployment rate is a lot worse than what the number is. What it doesn't count are people who haven't been working over the last 2 years. That I would venture to say the true unemployment rate is somewhere around 15%, not 8%.
Yeah.
Let me cut in real quick. Carla has a comment. Carla?
Hey, how's it going, Stephen Knight?
Hey, Carla. How you doing?
Hey, great show. Thank you. Thank you. Really quick, I'm just listening to your show, and definitely great dialogue with the people on your panel tonight. So good work, everyone. I just wanted to just share my opinion in regards to voting. This is a really great topic. It really is. And first off, I must say that I'm not very political. I have no connection with any party, and I pay little attention to politics in my country. Let me stop lying. I'm very active. I was just kidding. I'm very active.
I'm about to say, Carla.
however, Stephen and your panel, I don't care what politics that you have. All I care is that you're aware of the importance of expressing your opinions. So I'm completely, utterly in favor of voting and completely, utterly disgusted by people who can't be bothered to take the opportunity to register their opinions. In my opinion, voting is the key to democracy. It's how the population expresses its opinions on how things should be done, whether it's a national election for a president or a high school class choosing who should clean the board after school. It's all important, you know, and it's there to give us a voice. And, yes, that voice may be small, but thousands of voices together can make an impact. So a couple questions really quick. Did you all know that in the U.S., less than 50% of those people eligible and registered to vote actually bother to go and do what they, less than 50%. And then only 70% of the eligible population actually register in the first place. That's crazy to me. And so only 35% of the voting population are expressing their opinions. So only 35% of people with the right to vote can be bothered to do it. That's crazy. Voting is a right that people have fought and died to give us, and only 35% of the people go out, you know, and partake in it. I think that's awful. So it really is. And then I'll just end with this. Huh? Say it again.
No, I was just going to say, I do think that's endemic of how flawed the voting system is, because if we really did go by a popular vote, I do think more people would vote.
I agree, right now every vote is not counting. In certain states, like in Texas, if I vote Democratic, it goes nowhere.
But see, I think that people should focus on the current system. If everyone goes to vote just like she says, we could change that. But people are so concerned about, oh, my vote isn't going to count. I'm in Alabama. It's Republican. I'm like, if you just go out and vote, voices together will change that. But people concentrate on the wrong things.
I just want to make one point, and then I'm going to leave. But what I was trying to get at is that it's just crazy that there's only 35% of the people that are partaking in this. But just think, extremists, you know, there's extremists out there that will always vote. That's why they're called extremists. So sadly, most of the general population, they, when it comes to politics and all that stuff, they aren't really trying to be bothered. But just think, those 10 people, the extremists that are going to vote, they vote because they feel strongly about it because they're extremists. That's what they do. When the average person does not bother to vote, the extremist percentage rises.
That's true.
So it really is. And so lastly, I'm just going to say this. There are many reasons, Stephen, that people don't vote. Maybe they forgot to vote, or maybe, you know, this election, this past, you know, 4 years of Obama, they were discouraged because one of your panel had mentioned that in the beginning, and I was definitely agreeing with him because, you know, I voted for Obama, but I wasn't really so sure if I was going to partake in it again. But, you know, I just feel like, okay, well, I don't want Mitt Romney to do it. And, you know, we only gave Obama 4 years. We can give him four more to see, you know, what. So I would rather cast my vote than not. And I'll say that, you know, every vote I mean, number one, if you don't turn up at all, you're essentially saying that you don't care. But by turning up, you're using your ballot paper, you're using up a vote. So even if you're not voting for a candidate, you are dragging that percentage down. And percentages, as you guys know, they matter. So every vote that is spoiled is a non-vote for the poor candidate. It drags their percentages down. It's your way of saying, I'm taking the time to come out and vote for no one because no one represents my views. So if enough people did that, the candidates will have a change. They will be able, will have a chance to, you know, will have to change to suit the voters, you know, and that's like real democracy right there. So even if you don't like the candidates, still go out and cast a vote.
Yes, but who do you cast a vote for? You only have two people on the
I know, yeah, and you, I mean, cast it for somebody, you know, but
I mean,
it's better to cast it than to have no voice at all, and then you want complain in 4 years about, you know, how bad the economy has been or how bad health care is for our children, so...
Yeah, I agree with that, what everyone is saying. It's like, but what you're asking me to do is to give a vote to someone that I don't believe in. And, you know, like you said, if our vote is really that precious, then why would I back someone that I don't believe in? You know,
okay.
I want to vote. I just would like to have someone that would hear my voice, you know, and I would like to have someone that I could say I believe in. But if I'm always left to choose between, oh, well, Mitt Romney's not, he's going to enslave me like all the ads say, and the Democrats, they want to save my life, you know what I mean? But neither one of them are really doing anything for me. So do I just go cast a vote for the lesser evil?
What do you want
the
president to do? Like, what do you want him to do for you? Like, do you want him to actually come to your house? I mean, I don't understand, like, what do you want him to do? Like, what is he not doing that you want him to do?
Well, everything like
I just want the president to do what they say they're going to do.
Yes, and everything like the last gentleman just said, he came in as a radical saying that he was going to change, and we've done everything that George Bush did. Honestly, we haven't really changed much. We haven't changed much at all. We did health care, we did gay marriage, but we really haven't changed much else besides that. And if
you know something...
Okay.
If he can step up and vote,
that's something, though. It's something. You act like he hasn't done anything. First of all, it takes more than just a president. It's also Congress. And whenever you have a Congress that doesn't even think that you're an actual U.S. citizen and questions your
what Congress did he have? You know, what Congress did he have his first 2 years of his presidency?
Here's the thing, though. His first 2 years, he had his Congress. He had his soldiers with him. Then when the midterms come in, people drop out. They don't vote.
They don't vote in midterms, exactly.
No, they don't vote. They drop out, and then they start complaining about what hasn't been done. But yet they didn't vote in the midterms to vote for his soldiers. So guess what? The House Representatives goes to Republican, and they fight every single thing, fight his entire agenda the whole time, and those that didn't vote complain the whole time. It's just the same thing that happened with Bill Clinton. It's the same thing. And so he has to tamp down. He can't be as radical anymore and come in with these sweeping changes because he has to tamp down because he has to negotiate with these people who want to do everything far, far right. So nothing gets done. And then people complain and say, oh, they're disappointed.
Let me ask you this question. So people were fired up at Wall Street who destroyed the economy. So he couldn't have radically changed the whole Wall Street system, broke down the banks so they're not too big to fail, so they're not bigger than they are now, and is setting up for an even worse financial crisis. You're saying he didn't have the power of the people to do that when he first got into office?
No, because that's way too radical what you're talking about. And even some of the
financial
people on his team would not have went for that. Like
he couldn't let the Wall Street people on his economic team.
Okay,
of course they're not going to break that down.
What happened to having a backbone? If you're going to come in and say, look, we're going to make a radical change, and this is what I believe in, that the poor need to be brought to the top. Then what happened to having a backbone and sticking to your convictions?
You can have as much of a backbone as you want. If those votes don't add up, They don't add up.
Thank
you. Can have
you.
He never fought,
you.
He never fought that
thank
fight.
You.
That's my argument. He never fought that
God.
Fight.
It ain't all about
he didn't fight that battle. He didn't put that out there for the American people to decide. He just went ahead and said, look, I still have winners.
And
battle,
as lobbyists,
and
you all remember our lobbyists in Washington, D.C., lobbyists that paid the senators and congressmen. President Obama could have had a bill ready to do that. But if Congress does not pass it, it's nothing. It's the paper.
But there's one thing, if you have the bill ready, and at least people can at least acknowledge that you tried putting forth whatever type of legislation forward, it's another where you didn't at all. Here's my biggest thing on the grand scheme. We can go back to all presidents. To me, Obama is no different than Republicans in regard to foreign policy and monetary policy. The economic policies favored the rich. The economic policies favored the rich, which is no different under Bill Clinton, George Bush, Ronald Reagan, and foreign policy, where he came as a peace president. He's intervened in so many different wars. With the drone attacks that we're still doing, our involvement in Afghanistan, to me, is the same thing as any other Republican president. So yeah, we have little differences, subtle differences. On, you know, a little bit, but to me, the grand scheme of it, Mitt Romney and Obama, economic policy-wise, monetary policy, because because Obama granted tax cuts to the rich. My only thing is, policy, and this is where I'm frustrated, is to me, Mitt Romney and Obama would do the exact same thing, foreign policy-wise and monetary policy-wise.
Okay, let me say something. Regarding foreign policy, my thing, and this is where I'm not that liberal on, I agree with Republicans most of the time with foreign policy, because I truly believe that the United States should keep the most powerful military in the world. And as far as militarily, I'm more conservative when it comes to that.
The monetary nations become bankrupt?
Monetary. No, you have a little. There's a little bit of truth in that, but also, I mean, we have a lot of things going on. We have to keep the most powerful military. I mean, there's wars that has to be that needs to be fought. But moving on to the monetary part, see, my thing with that is the tax code is really, really challenging, because when you sit up there, when you say, okay, he made policies, he did tax cuts for the rich. Well, when he was negotiating, he had to put that in order to get the tax cuts for the lower to stay in the place. They fought him on that. He wanted to let them roll back, but he couldn't do it. He had to have the whole package pushed through in order to get it through. I mean, so it's like, I don't know what people expect him to do on his own as a president, because as a president, you only have so much power.
True. That's true, yeah.
So, I mean, if you're negotiating with Republicans, they're saying, no, you're not doing this. Let's let our rich friends and our rich friends that's paying us, you gotta keep that tax cut as well. You got to do what you got to do in order to get the agenda through.
All right, listen, we're going short on time, so this is what I want to do. I want to go to each person and give your closing remarks, and we're going to call it a show, okay? So start with you, Tyrone. What's your closing remark here?
I just want to say that true change from these last 4 years, what my fundamental understanding is the system is flawed, the political system is flawed. It's only geared for two people to go, and they cater to who finances and provides the most money for them, which are normally major corporations, and the policies have shown exactly that that agenda from both parties. So what I'm from the understanding is true radical change, whether it was the civil rights, whether it was women's suffrage, whether it normally comes from the outside, just like the Occupy Wall Street, from the riots and protesting and stuff. And I truly believe that a true radical change in the political system won't happen until the people are finally fed up with it, and it comes from the outside. I don't think voting honestly will change anything. I think it's a feel-good gesture, and I obviously it feels good for me if I vote for a black person who is better all across the board than Mitt Romney. I will not argue that at all. I think Mitt Romney is a horrible candidate and representation of America. However, I do think policies aren't that far apart in the grand scheme of things. So I think it's a personal choice for everyone. I agree with the female when she said, you know, regardless of your opinion stuff, just, you know, at least know what the politics are and know why you're voting for whoever you're going to vote for. I'm still undecided. You know, I'm not going to lie. A lot of the, I want to say the blatant racist stuff or the voting, you know, the stopping of voting in the inner cities has ticked me off a little because it's straight racist stuff to make me just, you know what, let me just vote. Just although I know in the grand scheme of things it won't have an effect in Georgia because Georgia's all red. Anyway, so I just think it's to each their own. I don't blame any person for their choice or not. I just wish that people were more informed on whoever they decide to vote for. Just be informed on the policies and be sure those are the things that you believe in.
All right. Thanks, Tyrone. Aaron, your closing remarks.
Man, I just want people to educate themselves. Don't go by just what your mom told you, whatever you heard on TV, whatever you heard on the radio. Educate yourself. Get online. Read newspapers. Find out what both candidates have to offer. And if you choose to vote for a Republican, so be it. You choose to vote for a Democrat, so be it. Just vote. And also, again, it's not just about the president. You got to look down to get Congress, senators, man. It's very important. And it also your state representatives. That's also very important because there are a lot of states' rights issues that are going on right now, and people need to be aware of that. It's not just the presidential level. It's U.S. Congress, and then also your state and local officials as well. So educate yourself. That's all.
Thanks, Aaron. Avery?
Yeah, I just want to kind of back what the two gentlemen just said. Really do your research. Real change is only going to happen on the ground level. I come to realize that neither presidential candidate are doing things in your house, anything in your community. So you need to do yourself what they ain't going to do, and that is build better education in your own community, and just do what you have to do and do your research, and don't just back people because they're black, or don't be black people like the guy just said because your family was a Democrat. Do your homework, get into your books, and really look who your representatives are and really make a change there, because you can't do anything just sitting at home. And I agree, you can't just, you know, sit at home and not vote. At the same time, I would like to see someone in there who's going to do something and, you know, not just have to settle for the lesser of two evils each year.
All right. Well, thanks, Avery, for calling in. And finally, Derek.
I agree with all of them. I mean, everyone needs to do the research. Don't just back people because they're Democrat, they're Republican, which I always give people the benefit of the doubt that they back people because they fit closely. I mean, no one's going to fit perfect. You can't find a perfect girlfriend. You can't find a perfect boyfriend. But you find people who fit closely to your values. And if you do that, then, you know, I mean, you'll get most of what you want, some of what you want, some of what you don't want. That's just, you know, how it is. But I do think everyone should vote. Everyone should vote, no matter how disenfranchised you feel, no matter how pissed off you feel. And this is coming from somebody, you know, I voted for Bush in 2004. And so, you know, I'm not far, far left, and I'm not far right. But I agree with Tyrone. I do think Mitt Romney is a absolute horrible representation of this country. Horrible. But whoever you choose to vote for him. Just make sure you vote. Don't worry about whether the state is going to be red, blue, because if everybody does their job, you can change the blue to the red to the blue. And it's a true statement. Like, I mean, that's a true fact. So I just say concentrate on that, vote, and change will come eventually.
All right. Well, listen, I want to thank my whole panel for being on tonight, Aaron, Tyrone, Derek, and Avery, for sharing your points, and Carl for calling in, for sharing your thoughts. Much appreciated. Everyone have a great night.
You too, man. Thank you. All right, appreciate it.
We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come right back.
You're listening to The Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. You're listening now. You're listening to The Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. The Steve and Knight Show, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on EOTMRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Steve and Knight Show. What a discussion, Shike. Shike, you still on the line? You might not be on, but it was, what a discussion. I want to thank again the panel for coming on. I think that we got a lot of different sides, and that's what I wanted in the discussion. I wanted to be a lot different perspectives. I don't think it's ever positive when you have just one side debating a topic. I think it's good to have a well-rounded. Chiki, is that
you? I am here. Yeah, I'm here. And I just wanted to ask one more thing. I know I didn't chime in on that conversation, but it is going to be very, very, very important that people have their identification correct and in tow when you go vote this year. Very, very important.
Yeah.
So you could be registered. You could have the will. You could get there. Please have your identification, and please make sure that it's on point.
Absolutely. Well, that's our show. I'm going to play one song before we head out. We don't have time for Steven's playlist. But I think rightfully so, we had a great conversation. We're gonna encourage you all to come back next week. We'll have another great show lined up for you. And my point of view is that people fought and died so that you could vote. Do your research. Who's going to be the best candidate for our country, and vote. That's my point of view. I think everyone should vote. Just do it. Miss Parker and Janelle will be back next week. We definitely shout out to them. So they're having a good night off. But we're going to play a quick song. And everyone have a great night. See you next week.
I love the way you call my name. matter how hard I try, I realize it's a feeling I can't control. I can't stop loving you, loving you. Girl, I want this forever. I want you always. I can't get enough. I'm addicted to love, 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 love. I'm addicted to love, love, love. I'm addicted to love.
Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping lives for a better tomorrow.